Let us turn again to the part of God's word which we read together, to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 20. And let us consider just now verse 32. Matthew 20, 32. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" Well, there were these two blind men who heard that Jesus was passing by. And they cried out to him, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." And it is well worth remembering that when they address him as the son of David, they mean that he was the Messiah. They had that recognition that here was the one that had been promised, that he would come in the fullness of time. Well, he had come. And these two men, blind though they were, recognized that. And they were asking for a blessing. And Jesus stood still, and he called them and said, "What will ye? What do you wish for? What do you wish for that I would do for you?" That's what he's asking. And they gave the obvious answer. They're thinking, what more can we ask for than that we would get our eyes to work as they work for normal people? That's their thinking, no doubt. Well, there was something higher. There was something greater. And that was that the eyes of their souls would be opened, the eyes of their understanding, that they would get a spiritual understanding. And let us ask ourselves, if the Savior was to come and meet with us, and in a sense, he does come and meet with us when we come to public worship or when we read the Bible. He does come to meet with us. And this is what he is saying. This is what he is saying this evening. "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" What do you most want? What do you want this evening when you come to God's house? What do you most want? Now, we might find it quite easy if we were alive in the time when Christ was in the world and we met him and he put that question to us. But there might be something very much in our minds that we would want that would be going along with the principle that Christ taught, and that was, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." There's other things we might need, and the Savior mentioned some of them, but what's what we most want? Would it be spiritual blessings? And that covers a vast field. Would we be most wanting spiritual blessings? Is that what we would most want? And we might just look back for a moment to what we see at verse 20, when the mother of Zebedee's children came to Jesus with James and John, and she had a request to make. She wanted her two sons to sit one on the left and one on the right of Christ in his kingdom. And she may well have had a very worldly idea of the kingdom of the Messiah. What would it be? Would it be Christ coming and becoming an earthly king? Was that it? Well, it was, as far as this woman was concerned. But the Savior's answer was that it wasn't a proper request. You know not what you ask, is what he says. You don't understand what you're asking. Are you able to endure the difficulties, the troubles, the trials that would come along with that? Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? And what a solemn, awful cup that was. Christ taking the sins of many, Christ having taken the sins of many. And he must suffer, he must die. Were James and John able to take that sort of cup? Were they fit for that? Could they endure that? Oh, it was an unwise question. And if we are encouraged by the word of God, as we are, to ask for many things. But you see, whatever we ask for, it must be for our good and for God's glory. It wasn't, or at least they couldn't be sure of that, that it was for their good to get that particularly conspicuous place in the kingdom of God, even understanding the kingdom of God in a right way. Could they be sure it was for their good? And they had no reason whatever to think it would be for God's glory. Now, I want to apply this in three different ways. Not absolutely different. They're spiritual things that I'm pointing to. And yet, you see, we're to ask for the supply of all our needs. Now, spiritual blessings are the most important. But, you see, these two men were not turned away when they asked to get their eyesight back, if they ever had eyesight. But they wanted to get eyesight. Now that wasn't a spiritual blessing, but they had every right to ask for it. It was perfectly proper for them to ask for it. And the three things I want to focus on are these. First, a request to be saved from sin, a request for salvation. That's entirely proper. If we're not asking for that, there's something very far wrong. And the second thing, it's to make progress on the way of salvation, to make progress, to grow in grace, and all the other things that are bound up with that. And the third thing is this, to desire progress for the church of God, to desire that the church of God would make progress, that it would grow, that there would be conspicuous blessings through the preaching of the gospel, and so on. Now, there's many another thing, especially by dividing these things up into particular requests. But while we may look at some of the details, these are the three main blessings that I wish to focus on. First, to ask for spiritual blessings, or this spiritual blessing, that we would be delivered from our sins, that we would experience salvation. Second, that we would make progress in the way of salvation. That assumes, of course, that we have set out by God's grace on the way of salvation. And the third thing is that the church of God would make progress. Well, the first thing is this. One good answer to the Savior's question, Lord, that the eyes of my soul might be opened, and that I might be drawn into the kingdom of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that I would be made a new creature spiritually, that my sins would be forgiven. And you could go on and on and on. In as you would go through the various details. Yes. Well, if we just take the answer of these blind men, there's another account of a blind man having his eyes opened, and it's in other gospels also, but we'll confine ourselves to this occasion when there were two blind men. Yes. And they asked that their eyes would be opened. They want to see how great a restriction it is when somebody loses their eyesight. Well, we can ask the Lord to bless us in this way, if that's his will. But more, we should be asking that the eyes of our soul would be open, that we would see Jesus. Now, I don't mean that we would see Jesus in the flesh. That's not going to happen till the end of the world, when Christ will come to judgment, to bring this world to an end. But here we're thinking of what we might be asking for in our time, for ourselves in particular, and at least that's where we must start. And if we have had our eyes opened at all, and the various other blessings that go along with that, then there's many another thing we can ask for. And we can ask for these self-same things for other people. But you see, we need to see Jesus. That was the request of the Greeks, the Gentiles, that said to Philip, and the question reached the Savior, or the request, the desire, we would see Jesus. Why? Well, why should we be asking to see Jesus? Now, I said it wasn't a question of seeing Jesus in the flesh, seeing him in his human age. But, and it's not a question of seeing him in a vision or something like that. It's that we find the testimony about Jesus Christ in Scripture. And by faith, through the Word of God, We may, in God's mercy, we may have a view of Christ by faith, that he is a Savior, that he is the mediator, that he is the one who died for sinners and rose again, that he came into the world to save sinners. Lord, that my eyes would be opened, we're to ask, to see such things, to see that the Lord Jesus is a Savior, to see that the Lord Jesus is a Savior that is suitable for me. Yes, and that's a wonderful conclusion to come to. The Lord Jesus is a Savior suited to me in my need. To see that is a wonderful thing. To see it by faith, that involves the sinner embracing Christ, receiving Christ by faith, taking him, you see. There's a willingness that is a result of the work of the Holy Spirit in the soul, a willingness to have Christ as a Savior that is suited to me in my need as a sinner. You see, it's a good thing when a sinner sees himself or herself. It's a wonderful thing when in the light of Scripture, this person sees that they are a sinner. Yes. A rebel against God. A rebel against his mercy. You see, we can think of all these various things. Rebellion. Or do we recognize that by nature we are rebels against God? And oh, how rebellious it is when a sinner rejects the offer of salvation. When a sinner pushes away, as it were, Christ and salvation through him. When they do not want Christ, or they do not want him yet. Great and glorious as he is as a Savior. Altogether suitable to each one of us in our needs as sinners. And if we got some understanding of ourselves as sinners, who need to be converted, who need to be born again, and unless we are born again, we cannot see the kingdom of God. That's what we're told. Unless we are born again, we cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, how much then we should be asking, Lord, that I might see Jesus, that my eyes would be open, that I would not be left to my present condition, but that I might see Jesus. You see, one can have some hope that someone with that is their great desire, is drawing near the kingdom of God, or else may already be in it. But you see, what is your great desire? Is it for spiritual things? Or is it for success in this world? However you would measure that. Various people will measure that in various ways. But you see, the great differences between those who want their eyes to be opened, the eyes of their souls, and those who have that eye on something else. That would be the best thing in the world. Yes. To have success. To be prosperous. To have important friends, perhaps. Well, one could go on at length about the alternatives. But there's only one worthwhile answer. That my eyes would be opened. Or that I would get spiritual blessings. For if your eyes are open, the eyes of your soul, if these are open so that you can see, so that you can see Jesus by faith, then any number of other blessings come along with it. Yes. A complete salvation. That's what we may call it. When God begins to save a sinner, when there's the first opening of the eyes, let us say, any number of other spiritual blessings come along with it. Every benefit that we need so that we might get to heaven, the opening of the eyes, the giving of life to the sinner, that sinner being born again, that sinner being given faith, being given all spiritual graces. They may not be fully formed as yet, but there's the beginning. And the beginning is a great matter. The beginning of a spiritual work in a soul. How greatly are we to value that? Oh, we cannot value it too highly. We cannot value it too highly. If you think you could put a price on it, well, no price is too high. It's beyond any price that any of us could pay. But you see, Christ, the one who is possession of infinite power, was able to pay that price. The price he paid was his own blood, his life. He gave his life a ransom for many. Isn't that it? He gave his life a ransom for many. And that was the death of the one who is God and who became man and died in his human nature. He died. But there's this. The human nature was united to the divine nature in a way that can never be broken. The tie between the human nature and the divine nature of Christ will never be broken. It can never be broken. That's the one who worked out salvation for sinners. Yes. And we are to look to him. You see, many a thing can be said that would point along the same lines. But let us think of this answer. What do you most want? And you might say that my eyes would be opened so that I would have a living faith in my soul. And by faith, I might look to Christ and receive spiritual blessings so that I would get all that I need to prepare me for eternity. To prepare me for leaving this world. And that's not the only thing of importance. It's vitally important. But I don't want just to say that as if it didn't matter when we might be born again, when we might get a living faith in Christ. So I'll add this in. I need a faith that would make it possible for me to go through this life to the glory of God. To go through this life to the glory of God. And to be of some use to Him in this world. And someone might say, what use can I be to God in this world? Well, by His grace, you can live to His glory. By his grace, you can pray. However restricted you might be, now, you can still pray. And what a good thing that is, not only for yourself, but for other people too, and for the cause of Christ in this world. What a great blessing. Yes. The Savior's question then, what will ye, what do you want that I shall do unto you? And the answer, Lord, that our eyes might be open, that our eyes might be open, that we might see, that we might see out of our dark souls. Yes, that we might see Jesus, that we might be able to look to him by faith. That's it. And many another idea can be added on to that. Yes, and let us just notice the earnestness of these men. When they were crying out to Jesus, they wanted Jesus to notice them. They wanted him to show them mercy. And they were crying out, but the people around them rebuked them. They were making a nuisance of themselves. They were disturbing the peace. But what effect did that have? Well, we could say it's a good effect it had on them, because they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. They cried out the more. Yes. Oh, many a time, no doubt, bad things had good outcomes. It was a bad thing for people to try to quieten others when they are looking for spiritual good. And yet, it didn't quieten them. It made them cry out the more earnestly. That was a good thing. Oh, we have no idea. We have very little idea what is going to be ultimately good or ultimately bad. We have no idea. The Lord knows. And how he is able to work in the hearts of sinners and to use sinful things in the course of his dealings with a sinful soul. Here's an example of it. But you see, what a blessing that was in these people recognizing Christ as the Messiah, the one who was to come into the world to save sinners. What a blessing it was that these two men recognized Jesus for what he really was and prayed and wouldn't be forced to give up praying. That's how it should be with ourselves. We should be in earnest. Earnest for our souls. And whatever way people might react, by way of telling us, be quiet, man. Be quiet, woman. If we are to press on. We are to press on earnestly. We are to pray all the more earnestly for the Lord to give us a blessing for the sake of Christ. And you see, when the Savior spoke to the men, it wasn't with a view to sympathizing with them. It wasn't a case of saying, how very sad that you are in this condition. I'm terribly sorry for you. Well, no doubt there was sympathy on the part of Christ. But you see, one thing we are to read in the words of Christ is, it's this, how willing he is to supply the need of sinners. How willing Christ is. And anyone who is seeking Christ here, think of this, how willing Christ is to hear the prayers of sinners, especially when they are asking for the salvation of their souls. But let us go on to the second thing. And it is this, wanting to make progress in the way of salvation. Their first prayer has been answered. They have been made new creatures in Christ Jesus. They've been given faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. They have been given faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But they're not to stand still. And the Lord is saying to his people, what do you wish me to do for you? And the answer might be, Lord, that our eyes might be opened further, that we would see more of the spiritual blessings that are held out in the Word, that we would get more grace, that we would be able to look more firmly, more trustworthy on Christ as the Savior of sinners, that we would follow on to know the Lord better. Yes. There's that. You might put it some other way. You might be asking for more grace. You might be asking for a stronger faith. You might be asking for more love and so on. But you see, they're all linked up, basically. It's all this. It's the willingness of Christ to do good to sinners. The willingness of Christ, let us go a step further. The willingness of Christ to bring on the work of salvation in those whom he has already drawn to himself. Yes. So keep asking. If you have reason to believe that your first prayer to have your eyes open, the eyes of your soul, to have had that prayer answered, well, go on. Ask for further blessings. Ask for further blessings. That's it. Ask that the Lord would continue his work of grace in your soul. You see, we might think of the publican with his prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And we might apply it time and time again to what a soul might say to the Lord for Jesus' sake in asking for salvation. But those who have found salvation, and not to put the publican's prayer away as if it had served its purpose and they don't need it anymore. No, we still need it, even if we have found salvation. If you made some progress on the way of salvation, you need to have to use that petition again and again. And every day, one might say every hour, that you are before God in prayer, here is a petition that is so terribly suitable to you. Here in church, or in some other church building, you might express your thanks to God that he has delivered you from the power of sin. But you still need to be asking God be merciful to me, a sinner. The publican went down, the tax gatherer, he went down to his house, we are told, justified rather than the other being the Pharisee. Yes. But you see, although salvation has been begun, although the sinner has been justified, has been accepted by God as pure and holy and as if he had never sinned, yes, the request still needs to be made. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I still need mercy. Or you might find an old believer saying, I need mercy more than ever. Well, whether that is strictly according to the truth or not, they still need mercy. They still need forgiveness. They still need to be sanctified. Yes. However long they may have been on the way of salvation, however long they have been on the narrow way that does lead to everlasting life, they still need forgiveness. They still need grace. They still need more grace and more grace. That's it. They still need more of God's blessing. And it's good if we realize that. And it's good as it's good if we use petitions of that nature, because we need them. We need to use them again and again and again. But notice this. One or two of the commands that God addresses to his own children on their way to heaven. And we'll take this one from 2 Peter chapter 3, where the people of God are directed, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a beginning of grace. And no doubt at the beginning, the degree of grace given to a particular person who is called by grace, there's a degree of grace. And there's various degrees of grace at the beginning. But here's the matter just now. Grow in grace. Now we cannot manufacture grace, either in the beginning or if we are well on the way. How are we to grow in grace? And the next question I would ask is, what means are we to use? Well, that's the point. We cannot manufacture grace, but we are to use means. Same means as I mentioned in the morning. Coming to public worship, and in particular, listening to the preaching of the word, reading the Bible, going to the throne of grace. Of course, for the Lord's people, there is the Lord's Supper as an important means of grace. But you see, grow in grace. Make use of the means of grace. And ask that the Lord would bless the means of grace to you. That's one reason we should pray before we go out to church. That the Lord would bless the word to us. The reading of the word and meditation on the word. So that we would grow in grace. So that we might get a further view of Christ as a great and glorious Savior. so that we might grow in grace. Yes. Grow in grace by making use of the Word of God, in particular just now. So that we might make use of the Word of God. And you notice two things are put together in that verse in Peter, 2 Peter. One is growing in knowledge. And clearly that is to be, a stepping stone to growing in grace. The Lord uses his own word, blessing it to the soul, so that there would not be only a growth in knowledge, but a growth in grace. Yes. We're to be looking to make progress. And we must remember the intercession of Christ, of which we have an example in John 17, where the Savior was praying for his disciples, and I mean disciples with a small d, not the 12. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Perhaps even stronger than saying, thy word is true. Thy word is truth. And through the use of the truth, through the use of the word of God, we are to expect a blessing. This blessing, to grow in grace, to make progress in the way of salvation. And let me just point briefly to the petitions in Psalm 19, where we were singing, where David pleads, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sin, willful sin, sinning against knowledge, sinning against God's revealed will. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be righteous, and then shall I be upright, and be saved from the great transgression. Yes. Great transgressions. And so we should be praying, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. From the evil. Yes. That's what you have. And that's in connection with this answer to the Savior's question, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? To grow in grace. That's an answer. That's a good answer for the people of God to give. To be kept from temptation for one thing, and the various other things I commented on. But a third answer. What wilt thou that I shall do? And the answer, Lord, that thy church might be built up. And much need there is to pray in that way today, when the church is so weak and so many parts of the professing church of God are so far gone from what they should be. But you have it in Psalm 51, David praying, do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, the church of God, build thou the walls of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem, another picture, as you had it in Psalm 122, another picture of the church of God. Do good to it in thy good pleasure. Yes. Oh, may it be thy pleasure, David seems to be saying, that the church would be built up, that sinners would be added in a saving way to the church of God, that the word would be blessed in the preaching of it, that God's people would be blessed with growth and grace. All these things can come together. They're separate answers, three separate answers, and yet you don't need to go a huge distance to go from one to the other. And you see, David has this in what I've just quoted, that it would be God's good pleasure to bless his cause, to build it up, that many would be added to the church of God, that the word preached would be blessed, that the scriptures as they are circulated would be blessed, that the Holy Spirit would take these means of grace and bless them to many souls. Yes, certainly we need grace to pray. We might do it in a formal kind of way, but we should be asking that the Lord would be blessing the truth to us. Yes, that the Lord would bless the truth, that the Lord would do these wonderful things that we may be asking for in prayer, that the Lord would do that in his mercy, in his good pleasure, in his kind pleasure towards sinners, towards his people, towards the church in this world. There's his professing people collectively. Yes. Where are we to go when we see weakness in ourselves, when we see weakness in the church of God? Where can we go? Oh, to the Psalms for one thing, to Psalm 51 for one thing, and ask that the Lord would give a blessing with the means of grace, that he would come with power. And if you feel the Lord asking you in your soul, what will you that I should do for you, Lord, that there might be a blessing in thy cause, that the church would be built up in purity and in holiness and in spiritual energy, that there would be widespread prayer, earnest prayer for the church. Yes. And the Lord is able to do these things. I think I mentioned already that we have here, or we should be seeing here, evidence of the Lord's willingness to help. To help the seeking soul. To help the child of God. To help the church. And if the church of God is stirred up to seek blessings, well, that's an encouragement. If the children of God feel a spiritual energy in prayer, to put it like that, surely that should be an encouragement for them to go on in prayer, to be more prayerful, to be more earnest, more urgent in prayer, to ask the Lord for a blessing on his cause before he gets any weaker. Yes, before the Lord's people of an older age in particular are taken away from the evil to come. Yes, while they are still with us, to engage in prayer for the church. And much need there is to pray for the church. You see how the disciples were praying when they were asking that God would be stretching forth his hand to heal, and that signs and wonders would be done by the name of his holy child Jesus. Through Christ Jesus, who died for sinners, who gave himself for the church. Now, there were no doubt these disciples, there were no doubt asking that there would be blessings poured out, miracles done that would draw attention to the coming of the New Testament age. Now, we're not looking for miracles like the raising of the dead or healing of blind people or whatever it might be, though we would be asking that the Lord would bless the means that may be used with by doctors and others to bring healing to individuals. Yes. But again, the Lord may do wonderful things in answer to prayer. The Lord has done that many a time. And people, when they see their loved ones or themselves making a recovery from illness, perhaps without any means being used, but they know of somebody praying, they may say, there must be a God. He answers that person's prayer. Yes. Oh, let us never lose sight of the answers that God may give to prayer. Let us never lose sight of that. It may seem very unlikely, but the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There's much of a blessing that comes from the prayers of godly people in this world. Yes. But we're to pray for ourselves, in particular for our own souls. That's not to discourage you from asking someone you know that you believe he prays from the heart. That's not to suggest that you should not ask that person to pray for you. But you see, you're to seek to pray for yourself. You're not to be discouraged. Satan may discourage you from praying for your soul or for something else. And the Lord sometimes delays giving an answer to prayer. But don't you delay. The Lord is sovereign in the answer he gives to prayer. And when he gives an answer to prayer, yes, the disciples then, asking in the name of Jesus. Asking, in other words, for the sake of Jesus and what he has done. But let us notice this, or these petitions. He offered up in Psalm 45, which is very much looking on to the coming of Christ. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, that Christ would go out with his sword. It's there on his thigh, ready to be pulled out and used. But what does it mean? It's not a physical sword. It's the Lord fighting his enemies, Satan and all that are doing his evil work. But he has arrows. And these arrows are sharp in the hearts of the king's enemies. And I don't mean physical arrows. It's the Lord using his word so that he will bring down his enemies into subjection. The Lord bringing down his enemies. Not in a physical way, though he may do that. But as we would pray these words, we might well be asking that the Lord would use his word to bring down the enemies from their pride. And we might well think of those who are despising the word of God, and the teachings of the word of God, and making out that they are of no use, that they're only fables or myths. But you see, the Lord can fight his enemies. And his enemies will then be brought to see what an arrow is. And that Christ has arrows. And they may say, an arrow was fired today into my soul. What's the result then? Can we put it in non-figurative language? It's this. It's a sinner. Smitten with conviction of sin, and bowing down before God and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The arrow has found its mark. And the wounded soul is seeking to flee to Christ. Would that not be a great thing? If there were wounded sinners in Inverness and wanted to hear the word of God and wanting to go to Christ that they might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, and many of them. Yes. Let us notice this in chapter 9, that Christ was going about all the cities and villages and preaching the gospel of the kingdom in the synagogues. And he saw the multitudes, and he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. There's one thing to pray for, that the Lord would look on the multitudes going around today as sheep that have no shepherd. And let us pray that they would be looking for a shepherd, even the good shepherd. And Christ said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest, that he will send out preachers of the gospel. That's what we should be asking for, as well as all the other things I have mentioned. And you'll no doubt find many another thing in Scripture. But this is vital, that men would be sent out to preach the gospel. We're encouraged to use that prayer, and we would take this, we should take this in, that the Lord's compassion as he looks down on sinners today. The Lord's compassion. And one might ask how that compassion would be shown. And one might give a number of answers. Perhaps I'll only give two. One is that he would send out laborers into his harvest. And the other thing is that the Lord would send the Holy Spirit to apply the truth that is preached to those who hear it. That the Lord would bless his word here and elsewhere throughout the world and use his own way from the word of God directly and from the expounding of it to bring sinners into his kingdom. And as he gives his Holy Spirit, particularly we should emphasize the Spirit taking of the things that are Christ's and applying them with power, applying in particular the call of the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Well, what is your answer to this question? Christ's question, what will ye that I should do for you? May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Oh, have mercy on us, Lord. Take each of us under thine own loving care. And may we be asking thee. May we be bringing, according to what our spiritual state is, appropriate requests in the name of Christ. Grant to bless us in our souls. And give us the grace of prayer, through the spirit of prayer, asking to be brought into thy kingdom. The children of God asking to be brought on in thy kingdom and asking for thy blessing on thy cause. Do wonderful things in our time. Deliver us from evil. Be our God and guide forever. Pardon us and keep us and make us thankful. And be our God and guide forever. Keep us, Lord, and do us good, for Jesus' sake. Amen.